One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together
we're reunited
and feel so good.
I feel like we started another episode this exact same way.
We like 100% we did. I definitely know that we did.
And so you're not confused, I'm going to say June 4th, 2017. Timestamp.
Yeah, the robot voice really makes it very clear.
Yes.
When it is. We're back in meat space with each other.
Ew.
That's what it's called. That's what gamers say.
Really?
Yeah, meat
I've
space.
I've never heard that before.
IRL.
I've heard that.
You know?
IMS, in meat space.
In meat space. Top kick.
Yes, I can touch your meat.
Yeah.
I'm currently touching your meat.
Creepy.
And we are back together.
My meat noodles. Touching my meat noodles. Deep cut back to episode like 3.
I don't remember that either.
Meat noodles? Whenever I was like,
I don't
mind.
Listen to Song Salad.
That's actually probably but, true. I do. I listen.
But we're back.
We're back.
And we're ready to recommit ourselves to
each other
and this project and not have to do it across time zones.
Across time zones.
And over dinner breaks.
And as we just discovered, using my microphone the wrong way, which is probably why it sounded like such crap.
It was a little backwards.
Yeah. Oops.
What's a song salad?
A song salad is a short song that we write together using a random music genre from moodfuse.com and a random Wikipedia article as the topic.
Indeed. And we have a salad spinner suggestion. We spin the salad spinner and make a noise to accompany it to choose each genre and topic. And our salad spinner this week comes from Claire Dixon.
At Claire_Dixon.
On Twitter.
And she says,
can you do a salad spinner that sounds like a steak sizzling in a hot pan? ? Smiley face.
Can we, Scott?
Can we? Can we?
I mean, I'm going to attempt it.
Okay.
But like all the rest of our salad spinners, it's probably going to be very bad.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Sure.
Not where I thought you were going to go with that.
What did you think I was going to do?
That was more like a steak bubbling in a hot pan.
Well, but it's like, you know, when you put it, it's like a subtle sizzle. I didn't want to just go like, because that's boring.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
No, well, you were expecting the boring thing.
Yeah.
You, no.
In general, usually.
So rude. We're just back together. Our genre this week.
Skiffle.
Bless you.
Taste the rainbow.
Damn it. I made a sneeze joke and you didn't play along.
I'm sorry. I was making a sponsorship joke.
Yeah.
This things, week. No, we don't have sponsors.
Things we don't have. Skiffle, though. We do have a skiffle.
We got skiffle, though.
Yeah. You should take some antibiotics for your skiffle.
Oh, my God. This is already terrible.
Skiffle is a music genre with jazz, blues, folk, and American folk influences. Usually using homemade or improvised instrument.
Can do.
Literally with a can. Originating as a term in the United States in the first half of the 20th century, it became popular again in the UK in the 1950s, where it was associated with artists such as Lonnie Donegan, the Vipers Skiffle Group, Ken Collier, and Chas McDevitt. Chas McDevitt. Skiffle played a major part in beginning the careers of later eminent jazz, pop, blues, folk, and rock musicians. So it was like the high school of,
I guess,
genres. That's weird. And has been seen as a critical stepping stone to the second British folk revival, blues boom, and British invasion, so Beatles, in U.S. popular music scene.
Interesting. And it says, typical instruments of skiffle music include washboard, jugs, tea chest bass.
What?
Kazoo. Oh, thanks, Kieran Sizek.
Yeah, Kieran!
cigar box fiddle, musical saw, comb and paper, which makes like a kazoo sound, right, too. Yeah. Guitar and banjo. So, yeah, a lot of found objects turned into instruments. Or, in elementary school when you'd, like, string rubber bands across a
tissue box. Yep.
Like, things like that. Yeah.
I am stoked for this.
This is going to be great.
Yeah, awesome.
And interesting that it's a UK thing.
Yeah, so... let's talk a little bit about the word skiffle, because that's fun to say.
Feels good in your mouth.
It does feel so good in your mouth, a skiffle. The origin of the English word skiffle is unknown. However, in the dialect of the west of England, to make a skiffle, meaning to make a mess of any business, is attested from 1873.
Huh.
In the early 20th century, the term skiffle was one of many slang phrases for a rent party. A social event with a small charge designed to pay rent on a house.
Huh.
It was first recorded in Chicago in the 1920s and may have been brought there as part of the African-American migration to the northern industrial cities. So, first half of the 20th century, so we're talking about the early 1900s.
Yeah.
And then again in the, like, basically mid-1900s in the UK, however.
Yeah, it seems like it went out of fashion in the U.S. by the 1940s, but then in the 50s, the U.K. was all about skiffle.
Yeah. The first time it was used on record is 1925 in the name of Jimmy O'Brien and his Chicago Skifflers. It was most often used to describe country blues music records, which included some songs with the word skiffle in the title. it sounds like it can kind of be used, I don't know, skiff, it's they're using the word interestingly, so skiffle blues, hometown skiffle, skifflers, so they're kind of like conjugate using the right word in different ways.
Yeah, exactly.
You know where I know this term from?
What?
I was like, why does this sound so familiar? The play on Broadway, One Man, Two Governors, had this skiffle group that would come out in between the scenes and, like, play. And they were, like, it was, like, washboards and jugs
right.
Yeah, like, trash can drums and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, banging on a trash can, drumming on a street light, strumming on my banjo. One little voice is calling me. One little voice is.
I mean, I know it's Doug. Yeah. And I know you're singing a song by the Beats.
Yeah. Maybe the Beats was a skiffle band. No, they weren't.
No.
Let's move on. So the Brits loved skiffle.
They really loved skiffle. Enough to support an estimated 30 to 50,000 skiffle groups in Britain alone.
By the late 1950s. And part of the reason for that is that it's all just found objects and, you know, whatever you have on hand as an instrument, you don't need to, like, be able to buy a guitar to play in the band.
We call that low barrier to entry.
Yes, exactly. And we'll probably do a little more research and find out more about lyrical themes, but it seems like the songs are just about, like, whatever's on your mind.
Goofy songs.
So... this one guy, Lonnie Donegan.
Okay, how many times, just saying this now, I'm definitely going to call him Donnie Lonegan like,
yeah,
14
a couple times.
I'm really sorry.
That's his twin brother.
Different last names.
It was a weird family. Lonnie Donegan was a Scottish-born singer who was working and performing in the UK. And became the king of skiffle throughout the 1950s and kept performing until 2002, which is when he died.
He started out in a traditional jazz group,
mm-hmm,
and then would play skiffle in the breaks of the band sets, and I guess became popular and realized that he could kind of go on to do this himself.
Maybe he sucked at jazz. We don't know.
Maybe.
So he put together a skiffle group. And became first popular with a cover of the song Rock Island Line by Lead Belly, a fast tempo version of it using a washboard. And that was the first debut record to go gold in Britain, selling over a million copies worldwide.
Crazy.
And one of the most popular Lonnie Donegan songs is going to be our example this week. And it is called... Does your chewing gum lose its flavor? on the bedpost overnight?
You may have heard this because I'm pretty sure that sometime around our childhood, so like sometime in the 90s, this was used in a gum commercial, which makes sense.
Yeah. I think it was also on The Muppet Show.
Oh, so maybe that's where I knew it from, too.
It experienced sort of a resurgence.
Yeah. So the song is as dumb as it sounds. I mean, it's just whimsical. It's just like goofy and nonsense.
I mean, you'll hear.
Yeah.
Also, the like suggested songs that come up on YouTube when you search for the song are things like One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eater and Hello Mudda, Hello Fada. So I think that's the kind of company these skiffle songs are in.
Yeah. So
my ding-a-ling.
It's like the universe served us up a softball for our first episode back together. They're like, this is right
They're
up
like,
their
just,
alley.
Just hit some objects around the house and call tonight.
Yeah, perfect.
So
perfect.
Here is Lonnie Donegan. Does your chewing gum lose its flavor?
It is now time for our topic.
Which means it's also time for a sizzling steak.
Yes. So Scott is going to spin the salad spinner. Thank you, Claire Dixon, again.
Smooth. That's a rare steak.
So you just branded a cow. Is the sound effect that you just made.
You know, people say like, oh, it's still mooing. It's so
yeah,
rare.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically what happens when you brand a cow.
Fine, I accept. List of ultimate X-Men characters.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
A good old list episode.
Yeah, we haven't had one of these in, I'm not sure how long.
Maybe since our horsey teachers?
No, there had to have been one since then. Wasn't there like a list of battles or something we did?
Something
I don't
like
remember.
That.
The ultimate X-Men are a team of mutant superheroes that appear in comic books published by Marvel Comics. Okay, I guess I didn't know that like they were called the Ultimate X-Men.
I didn't know that the word Ultimate was in there. Is this like a different part of the X-Men series or is that just what it's called and no one really knows that?
I don't know, but I'm also really afraid of saying anything about comics on the internet because I'm pretty sure that someone's going to yell at us. Do not yell at us. We have no horse in this race. We do not care about Ultimate X-Men or any other kind of men in comics. We're not comics people. We're just trying to do our jobs.
That being said, the Ultimate X-Men was a modernized reimagining of the X-Men comic book that just ran a release from 2001 to 2009. So
cool.
Sort of a reemergence
reboot
of X-Men using the same original X-Men characters.
Gotcha. Okay.
And adding some, I assume.
So we have there are a lot of characters. So there's a character, then their real name. So the character is like their code name, you know? So like Wolverine has like a real name. So there's a character, their code name, when they joined the series, and then notes about, you know, just some like character notes.
So there's the original X-Men.
Yes. Professor X, Beast, Colossus, Cyclops, Iceman, Marvel Girl, Storm, Wolverine, Shadowcat, Nightcrawler, Rogue, Angel, Dazzler, Syndicate, Magician, Bishop, Pyro, Psylocke, Toad, and Firestar.
And Ochre. And Green and Yellow and Peach.
Yep. That's how that song goes.
Angela Lloyd Webber, big X-Men fan.
Little known fact. So there are like a lot of these characters.
Yeah, there's like,
I don't know, probably like four or five dozen.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there are enemies too.
Right.
So this will be interesting. But I guess this can work because if the songs are like kind of goofy, boppy, like whatever's in your head right now, like mm-hmm. how in the heck can I wash my neck if it ain't gonna rain no more, like songs. You know what I mean?
Good pull.
Thank you. Then I think that this can work. We can just do a kind of fun, like I'll read some of the notes. I'm not gonna get like, listen, just putting it, not gonna get super deep into this, y'all, but I will.
I don't see why not.
I will read some of the notes and try to find something, some thread that will make it funny. And I'm also gonna look up themes in skiffle music and see if there's anything that, you know, that I could draw from to kind of connect all these X-Men.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look up more examples of skiffle to get a real sense of the style that's played with these makeshift instruments, and also, you know, trends in types of instruments that are used and vocal style, all that jazz. All that skiffle.
All that skiffle. There you go.
And all that skiffle. What rhymes with skiffle?
Whiffle.
Uh-huh.
Sniffle. Triffle if you say trifle
wrong.
I was
just going to say that. Fiffle.
A fiffle. Mm-hmm.
That's if you are trying to say thistle and you have a lisp.
Thistle rhymes with skiffle, sort of. Slant rhyme.
Enough.
You know me. All about that slant.
Let's get to work.
Yeah. So.
Skiffle.
Bless you. Every time.
Never gets old.
I'm going to do it every time. That's your entire comedic philosophy is never gets old.
Go for it.
Actually,
why not?
Never gets old. The Scott Wasserman story is like a very apt title for your autobiography.
It's like never gets old and someone will like it.
Yeah. 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 Just so much spaghetti throwing. I have like two things to say about lyrical themes in skiffle.
Okay.
And it seems probably unsurprisingly that they tend to parallel bluegrass and blues themes.
For
and
sure.
I remember, I can't remember which episode it was. I think it was our bluegrass episode where we found this article that was like, oh, everything in bluegrass is about like death and trains and the home country and like looking at your trees.
And like a murdered woman.
Yeah. It was like. Love of a good woman, love of a bad woman. We're like all the themes. Murdering a jealous lover or something was like also a theme.
Yeah.
So I found this article by a guy who's actually seems like he's a rather prominent film critic in Britain. His name's Mark Kermode, and he has Mark Kermode.
Okay,
and he has been.
Oh,
playing...
that's an unfortunate last name.
I know. Maybe he pronounces it Kermode.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
Well, at least his name isn't like John Kermode.
John Kermode. So he's been playing skiffle for 20 years. And it's like his
amateur,
like kind of secret passion, I guess, as he describes it. No, he literally, his article is entitled My 20-Year Love Affair with the Joy of Skiffle.
Or How I Did Not Secure a Second Date.
Yeah, talking too much about your washboard.
I have a secret passion for skiffle.
I have a washboard. Oh, you have a six pack? No,
no, no, no.
Like a little,
you
like
misunderstand.
Bite.
He actually lifted his shirt up at dinner, and his washboard was under. I have a washboard.
Swipe left. Bye. Anyway, I'm trying to say that Mark Kermode specifically calls out the themes of trains, heartbreak, alcohol, and death.
Well, common themes in 1950s London, I guess?
I guess. Also, another interesting fact I learned is that the kind of one of the, like, the founders, I guess you would say, of skiffle, I think his name's Ken...
Ken Toilette.
You're an idiot. Ken Collier, who we talked about
mentioned
Wikipedia
him.
Article.
Yeah.
So that's the guy that Donning...
You went for a third option there. Donning Lonergy. Jack Donaghy. 30 Rock.
Lonnie Donegan. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I feel like I'm going crazy. Okay. He was in his band originally.
Oh.
And that was when they started playing skiffle in the breaks in their jazz sets.
Oh.
And he apparently was in the Merchant Marines and then got, like, kicked out or, like, I don't know. Oh, jumped ship from the Merchant Marines is how Mark Kermode puts it. He ended up in Alabama and hitched to New Orleans. Mm. And that's when he heard these poor African-American musicians who were improvising with whatever found objects they had in order to play music. And he was really taken with that sound. And it was actually called spasm music.
Oh, weird.
So in Alabama, New Orleans, Mississippi, it was called spasm music, I guess. And then when he brought it to the UK, apparently spasm sounded too dirty.
Mm.
So they changed it to skiffle.
That's lame.
I know.
Ugh.
It's, yeah. So again, stealing things from black culture, sanitizing them for white people, and making a lot of money on it.
There was probably some like big uproar caused when at a concert, one of these artists was like, "Hello, audience, would you like to hear blues or spasm?" And everyone's like, "What did he just say?
Blues,
or spasm.
Blues all day, please. Thank you." Or spasm.
You missed my joke. That was the whole joke.
So anyway, that was kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. What do you... So in any case, doesn't super help me with X-Men, but like, I will...
get the mindset of lyrics and the...
Yeah, if I'm thinking in the blues, bluegrassy, country, like folky rock range, like I think I'm gonna get it.
Yeah, and I was gonna talk about that a little bit with the influences on skiffle, very much bluegrass, swing, folk, and then by the end of skiffle, it sort of turned into the formation of early British rock. But bluegrass, especially with that communal aspect of it, like a skiffle band could have whoever's available playing whatever's available, just like a bluegrass band can. The most common instruments, I mentioned a couple of these with the Wikipedia article, but jugs, and I have a bottle that I put some water in to be our jug.
Scott came in, he was like, "I need to tune my creme de violet bottle."
It's a nice, good bottle. I keep this bottle to use as a rolling pin.
Yeah.
And now it's full of water to be tuned to a C. That was a little sharp at the end, but there's a C.
Sounds like who?
Do you want to try it?
Yes.
No, don't drink it.
I wasn't drinking it.
Maybe they don't know that.
An idiot.
Hey, there you go. It sounds like a refugee episode.
That was harder than I thought. You have to like kind of blow. Yeah, like. You have to put your lip kind of like over the top of the bottle.
Yes,
and
it's
then
the,
blow into, down into.
I've been well trained on my creme de violet embouchure. In addition to that, harmonicas.
Yeah.
Were common. Here's a harmonica. The one song I know how to play. So that's the harmonica. Kazoo, thanks to Kieran Sizek. I forgot how to play the kazoo.
Yeah, you just blew through it.
We have a little bit of percussion, a little shaker, because Shannon loves the shaker.
I do love the shaker so much.
I've got my guitar behind me. And then washboard, which I don't have a washboard.
Yeah, you definitely don't.
So I might just try to like approximate. Thanks. We did go to the beach yesterday.
We did go to the beach. We were all very fat and pale at the beach. Yeah. It's fine.
I don't have a washboard, but I can make washboard-like sounds using our software, Logic. And I think one of the reasons that a lot of the songs have to do with train travel, or why it was popular to do train-themed songs, is because it's very easy to make like the sound of a train on a washboard, like that chicka 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 sound. So if you're like having that as your rhythm and like using a train rhythm as the base for your tempo, then you can do a song about trains.
Did you just think about that?
I was thinking about it while I was looking at examples.
That's like a chicken and egg problem. You know?
Which came
like,
first, the washboard or the train?
Yeah, was it like we need something that sounds like a train, or it's we have a washboard and it does sound like a train, so let's make a song about the train.
I would say it's probably the latter.
Yeah?
Yeah, we have a washboard, we can make it sound like a train, let's do songs about a train. I also think it might be like, you know, roaming gypsy bands that were hopping trains and making music, and they were playing along with the rhythm of the train they were riding.
That's,
you know,
that's like a cool and very romantic story that you just made up in your head.
That's,
I like
that's
it.
Me, baby. I know. Romantic train stories all day.
Train hobo band.
Oh, last instrument that I'm going to approximate using logic is the T chest bass. And this is like, if you've ever seen Crazy for You, the musical, you know that song Slap That Bass?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I was in it in high school.
So usually the way it's done on stage is you'll have like a wash tub or like a big box and then like a broom handle and a single string sticking down from the broom handle to the box.
I feel like everyone has seen this instrument, but maybe didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in like Looney Tunes and stuff.
It was everywhere.
People would play like wash tub basses.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason they call it a tea chest bass, and because this was in the UK and there was a lot of tea in the UK, the like wooden chest that tea would be shipped in would often be repurposed into one of these basses. And it just has a single string, and you really have to move your hand pretty far in extreme directions up and down it to change the pitch significantly on the string, since you just have the one.
Was it a special kind of string?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably just like twine.
Boy, that would tear your hand up, wouldn't it?
Probably. They might have greased it.
Oh, yeah, smart. Mm. Greasy string.
Greasy tea chest bass.
Careful.
So that's what our skiffle band is going to be like.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing left to do is to figure out how we're going to turn the list of
X-Men,
ultimate X-Men characters into a skiffle song.
I will do this. Yes.
We'll be right back with lyrics.
In your time, in our time, I'm going to write them.
Right now. And with the magic of podcasting, the lyrics are ready now. Let's open the lyric oven.
Smell those piping hot lyrics.
Ow, my hand.
Don't be greedy.
Sorry.
Are you ready for my lyrics?
I'm so ready.
Okay, here we go.
I almost forgot what the topic was.
I know.
With all this talk of skiffle.
I know. So the first thing I want to say,
yeah,
is that reading this list of X-Men characters is like, you know that book in the Bible that's like, Enoch begat Crumb, who begat Boo Boo, who begat Jedediah, who
yes.
begat...
I don't remember Crumb from the Bible,
whatever.
But yeah.
And, oh, but Boo Boo, though? You remember Boo Boo?
Yeah, Honey Boo Boo.
Mm-hmm.
And her sweetness.
Yeah, but you... But you know what I mean? That it's just like a meaningless list of like relationships.
Right. Yeah.
So like a lot of this hinges on, unsurprisingly, knowing a lot more about the entire universe of X-Men. So it's like this person was aligned with this group and then that group got blown up by this person. So they aligned themselves with this other person. And
sure.
This person was originally the girlfriend of this person, but then he got killed. So she and it's like. This isn't meaningful. So it's not like their stories at all. It's just their relationships to organizations and other mutants.
Gotcha.
So I was hoping it would be like a little bit more of the story, but not so much. So I kind of like crapped out like a quarter of the way through it because there's a lot of them. There's so many.
So many characters.
Yeah. And when I said like four or five dozen, it's definitely way more than four or five dozen. So... What I kind
of it's a veritable skiffle of characters.
It's a whole skiffle of mutants. So what I kind of came up with.
I was just thinking, you know how you call it like a murder of crows or a pod of whales?
Yeah.
It's a skiffle of mutants. Which could be our band name.
Skiffle of mutants? That's pretty good. So what I kind of came up with was this like, so I gleaned that Ultimate X-Men, there's this kind of schism that's happened, and so this one character named Shadowcat decides to is elected the leader of this group of free mutants that lives in a place called Utopia. And then there's another bad mutant named Nami Bloom, and she defects. I think it's a she. Yeah, I think it's a she. She defects and takes like some rebel mutants with her. So there are these kind of like warring factions. And, you know, there's like a lot of like, this person was actually spying for this person
shit.
And like going back and forth and all kinds of nonsense like that. So I was like, okay, so it's like about a team and it's about like having a team and like feeling
right.
like this is your crew, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, and I also wanted to get like in the names of some of the mutants too. So I was like, okay, this is a good approach. So it's from the perspective of an anonymous mutant who is like in the good people group.
Okay.
Okay. Life ain't never been too easy. Why's no mystery when you see me? Mutants all stand together or we fall. I know some rowdy folks you'll want with you at the brawl. And then the chorus, Shadow Cat's like a cat. That's all there is to that. I was like, she probably is.
Yeah.
Wolverine takes after his old man. Storm and Rogue and Zero Two, Armor, Black Box, that's my crew, and I'll be the one calling. Join the band.
Mm.
You'll know me by my blue hair and face claws and magic healing skin. I bet you I can probably even fly. So just give a wave when you see me overhead, and I'll be sure to avert my laser eyes when I'm flying by.
Great, courteous.
And so then I thought you could also go back into like Shadow Cats like a cat,
uh-huh.
so they could kind of like. Be a fun
yeah
like list song fading out at the end. So that's what I got.
That's great. And I think the title is apparent.
Is it Face Claws?
No, I was gonna say Shadow Cat's like a cat.
Oh. Sure, it could be Shadow Cat's like a cat.
I love it.
Yeah.
By Skiffle of Mutants. Well, the band is ready. And the one thing I didn't mention in musical style that is maybe self-apparent from the way we discussed the genres that inspired Skiffle, the melodies are usually easy to latch onto and easy to learn by ear. Very little going on in terms of like harmonic progression and chord changes so that it's easy to just jump in and play along. So simple and easy to learn, and you should sing along at home.
Easy enough for me.
Easy enough for you, Shan.
And if it's easy enough for me, folks, anyone can do it.
Here it is.
Shadow Cat's Like a Cat.
A Skiffle song.
By Shannon and Scott.
Life ain't ever been too easy.
Oh, sir.
Why's no mystery when you see me?
Uh-huh.
Mutants all stand together or we fall.
We're family.
I know some rowdy folks you'll want down at the brawl.
Shadow Cat's like a cat, that's all there is to that. Wolverine takes after his old man. Storm and Rogue and Zero Two, Armor, Black Box, that's my crew. And I'm the one who's calling, join the band.
You'll know me by my blue hair and face claws and magic healing skin.
Looking good?
I bet you I can probably even fly.
Woo!
So just give a wave when you see me overhead. And I'll be sure to avert my laser eyes when I am flying by.
Shadow Cat's like a cat, that's all there is to that. Wolverine takes after his old man. Storm and Rogue and Zero Two, Armor, Black Box, that's my crew. And I'm the one who's calling, join the band.
Yes,
and I'm the one who's calling, join the band.
If I have to be the one to say it,
yeah,
I will.
What are you going to say?
A triumphant return.
A triumphant return through the medium of Skiffle.
I'm so happy with this song.
Skiffle's just there to make you happy.
I understand why that film critic guy had like a secret love affair with it for so long.
Right.
It just makes you smile.
No need to be ashamed of your love for Skiffle.
No, or your bad accent.
Or your
or your kazoo.
Or your choices of random shouts.
Yeah, we're family.
We're family. Pew, pew.
That's what lasers sound like.
Oh, man. So good.
I hope you guys enjoyed this and had as much fun listening to it as we did making it, because we were laughing very hard.
And spent entirely too much time recording jugs and harmonicas and kazoos. Oh, that was great.
Yes. Very good.
It's good to be back.
It is so good to be back. It's good to be... It's funnier when we're in the same room with each other.
Much funnier.
So
to
much
us, anyway.
Yeah,
hopefully to you, too.
Yeah, maybe to you, whatever. But, like, we're having a great time over here.
Oh, man. Well, There's more where that came from every week for the rest of time here on Song Salad.
And you can also stream us on Strange Label. We haven't talked about Strange Label in a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Strangelabel.com. You can follow them on Twitter, also at Strange Label. And we stream every Wednesday at 3 p.m. and then also kind of randomly throughout the week. And Strange Label will always tweet whenever they're streaming one of our episodes. And it's not always the most recent episode. They kind of have been going back through the back catalog.
It's fun
too.
To see what they've been playing.
Yeah. It's embarrassing. And thank you also to Claire Dixon at Claire_Dixon on Twitter for our hot steak salad.
And thanks again, Kieran Sizek, for the kazoo. Second appearance here.
Second appearance of the kazoo. We gotta keep it up.
If you have a song salad spinner suggestion, I pulled
you
a Shannon.
You did it too.
If you have a salad spinner suggestion, please tweet it at us. We have a little bit of a backlog right now, but we'll get through them all.
Yeah, we will.
Also, please send us your artwork. We love seeing things like the picture of the conductor tossing the balloon.
Yeah, that was very good.
Yes, from Dux Lacerti or Lacerti PhD at Jugbo.
Who sent us a picture of Emmanuel Villon, the conductor that we said we were pretending to play balloon catch with and water balloon toss with. And he literally photoshopped a picture of Emmanuel Villon in that exact pose, throwing us a blue water balloon.
It's great.
Check it out. We've retweeted it. We should probably, like, I don't know, retweet it again every couple days.
yes.
Very good. So thank you very much, Dux or Jugbo, however you prefer to be identified on Twitter.
Yes.
Follow us on Twitter. Share us with friends. Personal word of mouth recommendations of podcasts are absolutely the best way. We've also been recently advocating borrowing people's phones and subscribing them without their knowledge. So whenever they get a notification on their phone that Shadow Cats Like a Cat has downloaded, they'll be very confused, but
hopefully happy in the end.
Yes.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're family.
We're family.
Pew pew.
One, two, three.
Look good.
Shadow cats, lock it. This is the answer.